Good afternoon, ladies and gents, ghosts and ghouls. I hope you're all faring well and that the weather where you are is behaving in a friendly manner. It's actually really nice here today, albeit overcast a bit at the moment, but it's quite warm. So I intend to go for a walk shortly, now that I'm generally pain-free and have the wherewithal to do so. It'll be good for me to get out, I think, because I really haven't been getting that much exercise of late. I did manage to go for a long walk on Friday, but it would do me good to get some more fresh air and spend some time in perambulation, I think. Anyhow, just to let you know, the following post does consist of subject matter of a religious nature, so if this is not of interest to you, I would certainly hold no hard feelings if you decide to skip it. But I hope you will forbear me, simply because I'd love to get your opinion on the dichotomy that the person I'll be discussing experienced in her life. The reason I'm sharing this post, actually, is because the person I'm going to be discussing actually reminds me a great deal of me in an eerie way. I'm going to be sharing a daily devotional that I received in my inbox. I get these every morning from a Christian Reform service called Back to God Ministries. I am not Christian Reform myself, but I generally find these devotions quite engaging, and they give me a little bit of a chance to study the scriptures and pray and meditate that I might not ordinarily take if I didn't receive this devotional. So it's good for me, I think. Anyway, this one really captured my attention because it's about a woman who, for most of her life, I think, would have considered herself a pagan. But the life of Jesus called to her, and all of a sudden she found herself really interested in Christianity. And it reminded me of me, because I suffered through a period of total disillusionment with Christianity. I was a Christian as a child and a teenager, although now that I look back upon it, I think my faith was rather simple. And I just sort of took what other people told me at face value and didn't really explore a whole lot myself. But then at university, you know, I thought my mind was being broadened. And perhaps it was in some respects, but in others I'm not so sure. I thought that I didn't like Christianity anymore for various reasons. I think it was just certain aspects of some denominations of it that were wearing on my nerves. But then I decided to have done with the entire package and just dump it completely. And I became a pagan. And as does this woman in the devotional that I'm going to share, I smoked pot. I drank, not to excess, thank God. But she and I sort of shared some similar characteristics. And as with myself, it was going into a small church and hearing singing there that sort of reopened or opened the realm of Christianity up to her. And that's exactly what happened to me. It was a Paschal or Easter vigil at a friend's very small Orthodox church that changed my life. Now, I am not Orthodox. I don't see myself becoming Orthodox, simply because I've found what I consider to be my church home, and I knew, even when I decided to become a Christian again, that I was more Church of England or Presbyterian or Protestant than anything else. If I weren't attending a Presbyterian church, I would totally be C of E, simply because that's what really calls to my soul. But still, it took that lovely Orthodox vigil and that beautiful singing to God to tell me, yes, God is not dead. God is alive in my life. And so I'm going to share this devotional because this woman just reminds me of me so much. Sorry for all the explanatory notes at the beginning of this. Anyhow, this devotional is called Chosen, and there's a scripture reading from Acts at the beginning that says, "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel." In her book, Traveling Mercies, Anne Lamott describes growing up in California as part of the 1960s Flower Child movement. Though her grandparents were Christian missionaries, her dad and immediate family wanted nothing to do with Christianity. She writes, "No one in our family believed in God. It was like we'd all signed some sort of loyalty oath, agreeing not to. Anne came to believe in nature, books, and music. Influenced mainly by her parents and their friends, who came over to sing folk songs, smoke pot, drink a lot, and carry on extramarital affairs. She drank regularly before she was a teenager. In high school, Anne worked hard to study great atheists, aiming to prove Christians wrong, especially a teacher who had become a Christian. She had lots of ups and downs, feeling loved and cheerful, but also dealing with bulimia and binging on whiskey. She studied Kierkegaard and took a leap of faith, but shared, "Mine was a patchwork God, sewn together from bits of rag and ribbon, everything but the kitchen sink and Jesus." One day she wandered into a small church. "The singing," she said, "pulled me in and split me wide open." She realized she was becoming a Christian, and it appalled her. What would her friends think? But she couldn't hold back. Sensing Jesus' love and patience, she said to him, "All right, you can come in." And then there's a prayer. "Lord, thank you for showing mercy to us all. Draw us to yourself and give us new life, we pray. Amen." Well, I just found that so interesting, because the fact that she found herself appalled at becoming a Christian so reminded me of myself. I thought, oh my goodness, what are my pagan friends going to think? But now, I'll be quite honest with you, I don't care. I have discovered that I'm happy where I am, and I hope that they're equally happy in their lives, and they're welcome to think what they like. If they don't like the fact that I'm a Christian, well, I'm sorry. But there's nothing I can do about that, because I am, and it's irrefutable. Anyhow, that was all I wanted to say, folks. Have a fantastic day.